Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580. This is our telephone talk program. My name is David Inge, and we're glad to have you with us this morning. Today, we'll have another conversation about prescription drugs and natural remedies, something we've done on a fairly regular basis from time to time. And we do these topics because we know people always have lots and lots of questions. And we're happy to have with us this morning, once again, as our guest, Lynn Lister. She's a pharmacist with many years of community practice. She works and lives in La Salle, Peru. She holds graduate degree from Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. She's also a member of a number of organizations, including the Association of Natural Medicine Pharmacists and the Herb Research Foundation. She teaches herbal medicine at Illinois Valley Community College and operates her own service that she calls Sage Advice. She's been with us before on the show to talk about this subject, particularly of now the number of herbal products that are available over-the-counter and how you should think about those things, what sort of evidence we have for their efficacy, and things that you should be a little bit concerned about, perhaps. Now, I also want to mention, and we've said on the program, that Lynn is a pharmacist, and so she knows about prescription medications. And if you have questions about medicines that you might be taking, you can certainly call in, and I think that she can give you some information on that topic. But it seems that when she's been on the show, it's pretty much been dominated by the other issue, the natural remedy side of things. So whatever questions you may have, you can call in, and I know that she will do her best to give you an answer. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line, good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455. And if you match the numbers with the letters on the phone, you get WILL, so 333 WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Well, Lynn, hello. How are you doing?
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Keeping warm?
Trying to. I almost found myself, though, kind of feeling like I was getting used to it, and I don't know if that's a good sign or not. Or maybe it was just that we didn't, we sort of backed off on the 30, 40 below zero wind chill, and I found myself thinking, well, gosh, if it's sunny and it's not too windy, 20's not bad.
Yeah, 20's not bad, and it's supposed to be 40 today.
That's right. So, well, people will be dancing in the streets, maybe. Anyway, thanks for talking with us again. We appreciate it.
Well, good.
It seems that here this is an area where interest just continues to grow and grow and grow by leaps and bounds. And I wonder how, you know, you certainly must have seen more and more interest in this, not only in your work, but with people coming in and asking you questions about these various things that are available over the counter. How, just maybe you can talk a little bit how over the past, I don't know, 5 years or more, you've seen interest in these products grow.
Oh, yes. Like I said, I got interested in this about 10 years ago. From a historical perspective, as far as how did it get from the ground to the pharmacy counter that I knew, and I also had cancer 11 years ago, and that was a big impetus for me to change my focus in taking care of myself, and that's one of the reasons that really sent me in this direction, and I started reading on my own. But 10 years ago, at least not here in Illinois, it was very, no one knew anything about it. I felt pretty much by myself, kind of in the closet, doing a lot of my own research and reading. But in the last 5 years, it has really taken off, and I've opened I'm on my second natural pharmacy, which just means that in the pharmacy that I work, that employs me, we have added several lines of herbs and vitamins and minerals. I'm there on a part-time basis to take appointments and phone calls and things like that. And it really has increased in the last 5 years, and a lot of interest even in the medical profession. I'm teaching two courses, two continuing education for nurses at the junior college this spring. And a lot of interest in the medical field, and with other colleagues, pharmacists and the nursing profession, and that's been a change. I mean, the general public has been curious with me for like the last 5 years, but it's just been in the last year and a half that I've gotten a lot of the medical people also interested.
Well, we already have a couple of people here ready to go, and I expect we'll have other questions. So why don't we start, and we'll talk first with a caller in Urbana on our line number one. Hello.
Hello. I'm interested in St. John's wort. I started out taking the tea and never noticed anything at all, but a friend said, well, try the caplets. And I did 2 to 3 times a day, and I actually noticed a very nice, positive elevation of mood. But now I'm, you know, keep on taking them 2 and 3 times a day. And a friend of mine said, oh, I just couldn't live without them. And I'm thinking, gee, I'm not sure I want to have anything that I can't live without. I'm also curious about any kind of side effects or interaction with other drugs. And I'll get off the phone and listen if you don't mind.
Okay. St. John's wort, that hit the public on 2020, I believe, about in 1997 or 98, I can't really remember, but it really took off. St. John's wort is a very good herb. It helps increase serotonin levels in the brain. So if you are similarly to the antidepressants that are on the market, but they are not as strong, it is not as strong as the antidepressants on the market. You do have to take enough of it, and it also has to be taken over time, like 4 to 6 weeks to get to see results. And you do have to use at least 900 milligrams a day, and it's usually done in divided doses, like 300 milligrams 3 times a day, or 450 milligrams twice a day, to keep a constant blood level. Otherwise, your blood level of the St. John's wort is roller coastering. As far as I know, St. John's wort has just come out that you should not take it if you're on birth control pills. I did not see any other contraindications except with other drugs in that class. You wouldn't want to take it with antidepressants because there could be a cumulative effect. Odds are, conservatively speaking, a drug would counteract any effect that the St. John's wort would have. I think it's a relatively safe herb. You have to decide on a person-to-person basis. I mean, if someone is really depressed, really blue, it's possibly not a seasonal problem. If there's any kind of suicidal tendencies, of course, I always have to tell people you really need to consult with your physician to make sure there's not something else going on. But it is a relatively safe herb. There have been, in the literature, people say you have to worry about being out in the sun, that it's a phototoxic herb. Big controversy on that. It was phototoxic, meaning you can get sunburned worse if you are taking St. John's wort. But those studies were done in people where it was injected, and I think it was a control group with HIV-positive patients who were also sensitive to sun problems. But orally, I don't think there has been much of that come through the literature. There has been some dermatological problems, rash kinds of reactions, but as far as anything life-threatening, no, and there is some controversy whether birth control, that's just come out recently, that needs to be watched, but I haven't really seen any significant data that has proven that it has. There's been a lapse or a pregnancy or whatever. So I hope that helps.
One of the things that I think that is true, and it tends to be more true of herbal medicines as opposed to, let's say, synthetic mainline prescription drugs, is that they may take longer to get going. Of course, prescription drugs that people do take for mood alteration, the same thing may be true, that you might have to take that for a while before it actually
the literature
works.
Says anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks, even with prescription medications. But that is pretty much the same with the St. John's wort. I do have to say, I see people coming in and asking, same thing with prescriptions, though. I mean, you do need to talk with your physician and make sure that everything is is okay. But sometimes, whether it is a prescription or whether it is an herb, there are sometimes where you just have to work through a situation. Like I had a young girl come in to me and say, I need this prescription filled for Prozac, and I'll say okay, and I happen to know her and say, what's wrong? She says, well, my husband's gambling. And I thought, so you asked for a prescription for an antidepressant, which isn't really going to fix the situation. And sometimes I see that in the herb world too. So I kind of have to take a conservative approach, and sometimes we want a quick fix for things, and there's not always a quick fix for the situation. Chemicals or herbs sometimes aren't always the way to go. So I guess I kind of have to be conservative. But if it's making the person feel better, sometimes we do have a lower amount of serotonin level in the brain, and St. John's wort will help increase that level, which also makes you sleep a little bit better. Sometimes they're even looking into that for obsessive eating patterns to increase the serotonin as well.
Uh-huh. And it may also be worth mentioning that it seems that it's the St. John's wort. It's a drug that has been used in Europe and actually is dispensed by physicians and others, because I think that it's a pretty good medicine and it works well. But it seems to work best in cases where the depression is mild. People
Right.
have severe, profound depression. It's possible that this wouldn't give them the level of relief that they might be
right. It wouldn't
for.
Give them the level of relief, and it is some. And if the depression is altering the way you react to life, being able to get up and function and get out in the world, that is a time when you really need to seek professional advice.
Yeah. Our guest,
and not try to you know, help yourself.
Our guest this morning, Lynn Lister, she's a pharmacist. She works and lives in La Salle, Peru. She is schooled in prescription medicines, but she's also very much interested in herbal medicine as well. She's been with us before to talk about the topic and answer questions. I know she will do her best. We'll probably give the same sort of advice we do when we have physicians on the phone, is that we can't be doing diagnosis over the phone. We do these programs to try to add to your store of information. And, of course, if you're going to make some decision about your health, you want to get as much information as you possibly can before you do that. So we want you to be careful. But also, of course, if you have questions, you can call 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. It looks like our next caller is in Mattoon on line number 4.
It's always interesting to have you on the program. I had a slip disc in my lower back, which caused nerve damage in my leg. And the neurosurgeon has recommended vitamin B. And I wondered if you had any thoughts about that. Is there a difference between a natural vitamin B and an artificial? How about B6 or B complex? Or perhaps there's an herb that you might recommend?
Okay, when you talk about vitamin B, there isn't one, there are many. That's why it's really a good idea to take a B complex, which just means the whole gamut of all the Bs. I mean, if you pick up a B complex and look at the side of the bottle, you'll see thiamine and riboflavin and cyanocobalamin and pyridoxine, all the different Bs that are in there. They all tend to work very well together. And yes, we need B complex, particularly B6, which is pyridoxine, if I'm remembering my chemistry okay,
mm-hmm.
And that will help keep your nerve ending kind of looks like a hair with the coating, you know, like we get split ends sometimes on our hair shaft. The nerve can get kind of like a split end looking if the coating is not kept intact, so that the nerve impulses can travel correctly. And B6 in particular is very good at keeping that myelin sheath smooth and having the nerve impulses run better. So that's why a lot of physicians will say take B-complex, but particularly one with B6. You wouldn't want to just take B6 by itself because it, you can throw the balance of vitamins and minerals in your system off. It's better to take a complex.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having a lot of nerve pain?
No.
Tingling?
Tingling, yes.
Numbness?
Yes.
Are you on any prescription medications for that?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes valerian might be kind of helpful for that. Sometimes a little bit of extra magnesium, because sometimes the nerves tend to affect the muscles, and people get cramping or muscle.
I do have that.
Okay. You should probably take some a calcium magnesium. Most women should be taking calcium magnesium.
Well, yes, I do take that. Uh-huh. Calcium
in particular will help with the spasms, with cramping.
Mm-hmm.
Probably extra vitamin E as well for circulation and helping keep the circulation going. There's not a whole lot of herbs out there that are for nervous system or back problems that I have found.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you ask or look in the magazines or books, they'll say use white willow bark or something that is similar in composition to aspirin. It's an anti-inflammatory, but I don't know to what extent that would help. I haven't had much luck with that.
Is there a difference between a natural vitamin E and the artificial?
Yes, in E there is. The chemical structure of vitamins are the same whether they're synthetic, made in the laboratory, or whether they're natural, found in nature. But they're isomers of each other, and the body tends to absorb the natural ones and utilize them and make them more bioavailable.
Mm-hmm.
So on especially vitamin E, you need to look for a natural one, and it should say D, small d like in dog,
uh-huh.
Alpha tocopherol. You need to look for that on the label. If it's
what was the second word?
Alpha like alpha and omega,
A-L-P-H-A.
D like in dog,
yes.
Alpha tocopherol. So you need, that will tell you that it's natural.
All right.
Just because
mm-hmm.
it says natural on the label, or you see the word natural on a particular bottle, doesn't mean that it's natural. That's a kind of a misnomer on the public. The FDA allows a company to put natural on the label, and all they have to do is put 2% natural in it, and the rest of it can be 98% can be synthetic.
I see. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
All right. And thanks for the call. Let's continue here. We'll talk next with someone in Urbana, and this is line number one. Hello.
Yes, good morning. Hello. Thank you for the show. My problem is that I am an obsessive compulsive, and I take anafrenil. And I have several questions, one about Celexa, which is also considered useful for OC. But my question is, as I have reduced my anafrenil levels to keep at bay the side effects of anafrenil, I have found that I'm also getting more depressed. And I wondered if I can take St. John's wort for depression with the lower levels of anafrenil that I'm taking.
I would not recommend that.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Just because I'm not so sure. I've been taught that when a person is on...
It's an SSRI, anafrenil.
Mm-hmm. And St. John's wort can work similarly
mm-hmm.
to that, but actually the drug would probably overpower the St. John's wort, making the St. John's wort ineffective. And
no point in taking something ineffective.
Right, right. I would think that it would probably
be better to talk to the physician and maybe add something else drug-wise because of the, I just don't think the herb is going to be powerful enough to help you.
Let me ask if there are herbs that can be used in cases of OC, and also I wonder if you have any experience with the drug Celexa, and I don't know if that's C or S, which I'm told is also being used for OC conditions.
No, I haven't had any experience with Celexa. I've dispensed it. I've seen a lot of prescriptions for it.
Is it also an SSRI?
I believe so, but it's one of the newer ones, and I don't have my pharmacy books in front of me to validate that, so I can't really answer that. But I know at least in this part of the state, I sure see a lot more Celexa dispensed than an Afrinil.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Not that it's any better. Mm-hmm. It may be territorial.
Can you tell me if there are any herbs that you know of that might be useful for somebody who's dealing with OC?
No, I haven't run across that. Are you taking a good vitamin mineral supplement, though?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's important. Extra antioxidants are important, and I would...
Doing that, too.
I would probably suggest the herb milk thistle.
Uh-huh.
It is very liver protective.
Mm-hmm.
Antidepressants are a class of drugs that are fairly hard on the liver, as are analgesics, as are cholesterol-lowering agents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would probably be a nice, a good insurance marker to use. Milk thistle does not interfere with any drug, any prescription or over-the-counter drug that I know of, or any other herb. It is liver protective and will help regenerate if there's any enzyme liver damage. Will help protect that.
Okay.
Won't make you feel any different. I mean, people don't even know their. I mean, don't notice anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really the data on it is. I think it's just very effective, and I use it with people who are on arthritis medications.
How do I judge an appropriate over-the-counter in an herb store milk thistle? Do I just pick anyone, or do you have any recommendations?
Good question. I would probably go to a health food store or a pharmacy that is specializing, if the pharmacist has some knowledge and has picked appropriate companies and not just go to a large discount store where they have mass lines one after the other, because those are harder to discern. I had a hard time when I was stocking our natural pharmacy deciding what to pick and did a lot of research on that.
What would you pick for milk thistle for your own establishment?
I would purchase one. I don't know if can I give company names?
Well, I guess so. It's okay with me.
Phytopharmaca is one of my favorites.
Phyto.
It also has Phytopharmaca only sells to pharmacists and physicians.
Mm-hmm.
Enzymatic Therapy is the sister company. They're very good, too.
Enzymed. I've had some of their things.
I really like Phytopharmaca.
Okay, and Enzymatic Therapy is their...
Same company. Comes out of the same... They just repackage it and sell one to pharmacists and physicians and one to... health food stores.
And they have a milk thistle.
They have a milk thistle product.
Okay. Great. I can't thank you enough. And is there any other drug other than Afrinil that is used for OC that you might be aware of?
I tell you, that's something I haven't really run into a lot. I don't know of any of the I don't know of any of the newer drugs that has come out for that. Is it working for you?
Yes, but it had such bad side effects. I've cut down to about 3/4 of the dose I started at, and so far so good. But I am experiencing some depression.
Well, talk to your physician about that. He may be able to add a little bit of an antidepressant, but I wouldn't go the herb route just because of the anaphrenil. I don't think you would find it significantly effective.
Okay. I can't thank you enough.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Let me just ask real quick, Lynn. I hope that people are sensitive to the idea that if they're taking more than one medicine, there may be some interactions. And for that reason, often the advice is given, if you have a number of prescriptions, it's probably a good idea to go and get them all filled at the same place.
With
the idea that then the folks there at the pharmacist, when they see all these things, if there is some potential problem, there's someone who is saying, oh, wait a minute, this is not such a good thing to happen. I wonder, though, and I don't really intend to diss your various colleagues in the pharmacy field across the state, but I wonder just how prepared they are to be able to answer interaction questions when we're talking about a prescription medicine and something that's available over the counter.
You mean something other than over-the-counter drugs? We're talking herbal?
Right, yeah.
Medicine.
Yeah.
I think that there have been in the last 2 years several books that have come out, and most, you know, all pharmacists have to do continuing education in order to keep their license in Illinois. We have to have 30 hours every 2 years. And so we are being bombarded by continuing education from various drug companies, from various journal sources, classes, from Creighton or from University of Illinois or whatever. And this is such a hot topic. I mean, most pharmacists have some kind of book in their pharmacy. I work in 3 pharmacies that currently do relief at different pharmacies, and they all have 2 or 3 books. So most pharmacists do have access to be able to look up that information. Now, as far as going, you made a good point about going to one pharmacy. That is really, really important. I know people are price shopping, and of course I understand that as well. But when you get everything filled at one place, it's all kept under your name in with a computer, and you know how smart computers are. It helps us monitor drug interactions with other things that you're taking. So it's really, really important to go to one pharmacy.
We're a little bit past the midpoint. We have a number of callers. We'll get right back to it. Let me just introduce again our guest. We're talking with Lynn Lister. She is a pharmacist with, about 20 years now of practice?
21.
21 years of community practice. She works and lives in La Salle, Peru. She is a graduate of Creighton University in Omaha. She's a member of the Association of Natural Medicine Pharmacists and the American Botanical Council, as well as some other organizations. She teaches herbal medicine at Illinois Valley Community College, has her own service called Sage Advice, and occasionally is with us on the show. Actually, it's been a while, I think.
About 6 months.
Glad to have her here doing this kind of program, giving people the opportunity to ask questions. So 333-WILL or 9455, toll-free 800-222-WILL. And we'll get right back here to the phones with a caller in Champaign. This is line number 2. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel
morning.
So fortunate that she's on today, because this may seem like a frivolous question, but believe me, it's not funny. I have a friend who's coming to spend the weekend, and she snores something horrible. We have taken trips together where I've gotten no sleep for days. She freely admits I snore, you know, just nudge me or something, and nothing is working. But I have recently read about some, I'm assuming they are herbal products because they're advertised on TV, that's a sort of a spray that you use, and I'm wondering if I could mention those to her. Are they really effective? Do you know anything about them?
I don't know about any sprays, although I have seen herbal things on the market, and I haven't seen much success with them at all.
Really?
I have read
and have had limited data that CoQ10 has been effective, although it's not something you can give to somebody and it'll work that night.
CoQ10?
Yes, it's not a plant, botanical. It's a supplement that actually helps oxygenate the blood. Usually, snoring has to do with relaxation of the epiglottis, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes if people are overweight, they will snore more. I've read all kinds of things about sewing a cork or sewing a ball in the back of the pajamas so that they don't lay on their back.
Doesn't matter.
People tend to, it doesn't matter.
Nope. And she can sleep on her stomach. And when she's coming, I'll put her upstairs and I'll sleep in a downstairs bedroom with the doors closed and I can still hear her. It is just awful.
Has she tried those strips that you can put on your nose?
Yeah, they don't seem to work either.
They didn't. Yeah.
Now, this CoQ10, is that just CoQ10?
Yeah, it's coenzyme Q10, and it seems to, it's for cellular energy production and overall tissue health. There's been studies done on it that it is supposed to be helpful for cancer prevention. It has most been studied, though, for heart patients and for helping with angina and helping increase oxygen levels in heart muscle. But they have been, it has been looked upon that indicates that individuals with breathing difficulties or any kind of respiratory disease, if you use CoQ10, it improves your oxygen consumption and therefore
and that's available
may help you.
Prescription?
Yeah, especially, does she have allergies or asthma or anything like that?
Not that I know of.
A lot of times people who snore sometimes stop breathing. They have apnea.
I've asked her, and she says she's been checked, and they tell her that's not the case. She's just a big, heavy snorer. I mean, she's not big. You know, she's normal weight and all that.
I hope she's not listening.
No, I'm pretty sure she... Well, actually, she probably wouldn't mind.
Well, I don't know of any botanical things, and I'm not so sure I'd do anything like with any kind of nose spray, but CoQ10...
And you say that is available
Q10.
Without a prescription?
Yes.
And
yes.
I just would ask for CoQ10.
You can find it where the vitamin and mineral section of the store is. You'll usually see it in 30 milligram, 60 milligram, 100 milligram. It is expensive. I will warn you about that. But there is the only interaction with CoQ10. I don't know if she's on any prescription medications. But if a person is on blood thinners like warfarin or Coumadin,
I'm not sure what she's on. I know she has had thyroid surgery.
Okay. Well, you may want to check with what she's taking. But blood thinners are the only contraindication that I know of for coenzyme Q10. Also, sometimes I've read in some of the literature, Lanoxin or heart medications like Digoxin might be incompatible with it, but that's kind of controversial. But coenzyme Q10 might be something.
And you say this will take some time to work.
Yeah, it will.
Any idea how? We're planning a trip together in a couple of months, and I would really like to be able to sleep.
Well, if it's going to work for her, it should probably work within about 3 weeks, I would imagine.
Okay. Well, I will suggest this when she gets here, and we'll go shopping and see about it.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for the call. Let's continue here. Up next is line number 3. That'll be Bloomington. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I, too, am hoping that the other lady was not listening. I am the health care agent for my sister, who's older than I, and I am 86. But anyway, she has been prescribed Aricept, which is for mild to moderate Alzheimer's disease. Can you tell me anything about how effective that is and also how expensive it is?
Well, I'm not at the pharmacy, so I can't give you exact. I think it's really expensive. I think it's, if I remember right, it's about $80 to $100 a month, if I'm remembering right, but don't quote me on that. I don't see it dispensed very often up here, and the feedback that I have gotten from the couple of people that I have dispensed it to is that they're not sure it's working. And so that's a little scary. I don't know I don't think anything will reverse the disease, but I think the idea behind the Aricept is to halt it or to slow progression. And so I'm not sure if that's very something that you can measure. And certainly the family member who is taking care of the person would be the one that we'd be most likely to know if something's working, because the person isn't progressing. But it seems very subjective. I haven't had a lot of good feedback on it.
Well, my sister was in a nursing home, so you should know something about it. But I was wondering about it, whether it was...
Well, you can always go to your pharmacy and ask the pharmacist for a monograph on Aricept. So, and they can print out information that has how it works, what it is.
Well, I've seen that in the PDR.
Okay, but the PDR sometimes... you got to understand, PDRs are advertisements.
Yeah, I understand that too.
So there's also a book that you can look at. I don't know if they have it at the library, but almost all pharmacies have a book called Facts and Comparisons. And if you know a pharmacist that you're that you can ask, I'm sure that they will let you look at that book. And that has more information in it usually than the PDR does.
Well, I've also had some books from the local library here about that, but it doesn't really say too much about how effective it is.
How long has she been on it?
Well, since about middle of October, I think it was. Yes, about the 20th of October.
Okay, well, I think the hope is, in using it, that is not to... you're not going to see... oh my God, the person back, but it to slow the progression of the disease so that their lucid moments are more stay with you than the ones where they're not there.
Well, okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, thanks for the call. We'll go on to Flossmore, line number 4. Hello. Yes.
Well, I'm glad I got on. My son had a kidney stone last night. This is the third one he's had in 11 years. So I looked at Adele Davis this morning, and she talked about magnesium. And I know he's cut down his milk because they find calcium in the kidney stone. And that's their theory, don't drink too much milk, drink a lot of water. What do you think about the magnesium?
How much is he taking?
He isn't taking any.
Okay.
I really have to push him. He's 37 to take it, but... I don't know the proper amount. He's drinking 2 glasses of milk a day, he says.
Is he on any medication for...
His blood pressure, yeah. That's all.
I guess I'm a little leery. I have a very good friend. One of my best friends has kidney stones, and she's actually had like 3 surgeries in the last 3 years.
Oh my.
And she has to watch out for any minerals that she takes because they can't quite figure out. I mean, if you pass the kidney stone, they can dissect it and find out if it's urea or if it's calcium, if it's magnesium. But I would tend to be a little leery about using any extra minerals. I mean, a multiple vitamin that's got minerals in it is probably going to be fine.
Well, you know, I had muscle spasms. I had a lot of problems. And, you know, going to the neurologist and went to a pain specialist, and finally I looked at Adele Davis again, and she said magnesium. And So I talked to my neurologist, and he said, fine, you know.
Yeah.
He was giving me some teeny little dose, and he said, fine, take it, and it really has helped. So I felt it was fairly harmless. I just wondered what the quantity would be to take.
I've heard 500 milligrams a day, and it's supposed to reduce the calcium absorption and lower that oxalate that tends to want to cause
the stone,
the mineral salts to congeal and form into a stone. I guess magnesium oxide or the hydroxide would probably be the best. I've read where B-complex is
mm-hmm.
very good.
What kind?
B-complex with extra B6, like I talked about a little bit earlier in the show.
No, she mentioned that, too. He'll never take all that.
So
you don't think the magnesium is worth taking?
I'm not sure. The literature says
500 milligrams?
It can be 500 milligrams. And it's supposed to help calcium absorption, but I just not knowing what the stone is, if it is calcium or if it is urea.
Well,
I'm
think
not a doctor,
calcium.
So I'd be a little bit leery of that.
I think it's definitely been calcium when they caught it.
Calcium. Well, then he probably needs to reduce how his body absorbs it, and magnesium is supposed to counter that. And it can also cause diarrhea, which you probably know if you take too much of it.
Really? It doesn't affect me any. I'm taking 800 milligrams a day.
Oh, wow. Well,
still constipated.
Your body must need that, but yeah.
It can
cause diarrhea.
Well, so 500 would be safe, you think?
Right. That would be a good, probably
okay.
a good amount.
Okay. It was the amount that bothered me. Well, I certainly appreciate this, and I'll tell him about your friend with 3 surgeries. Maybe he won't be so glib about it. He says it's 4 years since I had one. Well, that doesn't mean he's getting older, you know.
That's right.
So I think that's... Thank you very much.
Okay,
really.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Indiana. We got somebody here on a cell phone. Line number 3. Hello?
Hi.
Yes?
I just wanted to add something about the lady who called talking about the snoring problem. A lot of people have had very good luck taking methyl sulfonylmethane, which is MSM. It's a metabolite of DMSO. It seems to be very safe, and a lot of people have had very good luck with it.
I haven't heard that. I mean, I'm familiar with MSM, but I only in respect to muscle and inflammatory mm-hmm. conditions. But that I'll keep that in mind.
Well, that's the reason I originally started taking it, was that I was reading about MSM, and then one of the side things is that it actually is supposed to stop people from snoring. Now, I don't know if the snoring stops people from snoring because of the allergies or for some other reason, but it seems to work.
Well, that could be, because if it's anti-inflammatory, so if it helps
mm-hmm.
With the allergy problem, that could, in a roundabout way, work. But
the other thing that I deal with a lot is that people don't change their pillows often enough. And people who have allergies tend to, you know, everybody, when they sleep, they drool on their pillows, and the pillows get bacteria in them. And every time you put your head down on the pillow, you're pushing all that stuff back up into your face. So I recommend that people change their pillows about every 6 months, and that seems to help, too.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Very good.
Throw that in.
Well, thanks for the advice. People can try that and see how it does. We've got about 5 minutes left here in this part of Focus 580, talking with pharmacist Lynn Lister. If you have questions about either prescription drugs or natural remedies, that's what we talk about when she's here on the program. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Next up, we have a caller in line number Champaign. It's line number 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I wanted to know if Ms. Lister would spell serotonin for me. She spoke of it earlier.
Serotonin. S-E-R O.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. S-E-R-O-T-O-N-I-N. Someone called me.
Okay, I was close.
Okay.
Okay, now I'll tell you what I wanted to know. I take glucosamine and chondroitin and this MSM that the last gentleman just spoke about for terrible bad knees, arthritis, and bone on bone. Is there anything any better than that you know of?
For increasing cartilage or for the pain?
Well, for the cartilage.
Okay. I'm not a big... I believe in glucosamine, mm-hmm. and I have seen it work fairly well with a number of people. It either works great for you or it doesn't work at all.
Okay.
Glucosamine will help rebuild and repair cartilage in a joint. If there is absolutely no cartilage there to work with, it can't produce something out of nothing.
Okay.
Chondroitin, and you'll see difference in information in the literature. I'm not real big into chondroitin. That is another supplement that is supposed to help hold water in the cartilage, in the newly repaired cartilage, which would then give lubrication. There's been some issues raised as to whether oral chondroitin even gets to the cartilage or if it's destroyed in the stomach. The studies that were originally done were on injected chondroitin right into the joint. And that did work, but that was like put right there, so it didn't have to go through conjugation and digestion. MSM, I don't have as much experience with that, with the exception of people with fibromyalgia. They have seemed to have a lot of better luck with MSM with muscle inflammation. Bromelain is something you might look for. Bromelain is actually an enzyme like from pineapple, I believe, that is very good at helping inflammatory responses and helping the pain while the glucosamine is helping to try to repair.
Okay. Now let me ask you one other thing, and then I'll hang up so you can speak to other people. I take two different pills I call them water pills. I can't think what you call them right now.
Diuretics?
Yes, diuretics, to keep water from forming in my lower legs. Is that messing up my knees with this chondroitin or this other stuff?
No, there is no interaction that I know of with the glucosamine and chondroitin.
Okay.
With any prescription drugs.
I thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Good program. Luck.
All right. Thanks for the call. We'll see if we can get one more in here. Well, on second thought, maybe I better not, because we're just about up at the end of the time. My apologies to people who we can't take. But we did have someone wondering who was interested in getting in touch with you and wondering perhaps you had an email address that we could give.
I do have an email address. It is sageadvice. SageAdvice at Juno, JUNO .com.
Okay. And I'm sure that on another day we can talk some more. We certainly appreciate you giving us your time today.
Well, good. Thank you for having me.
Lynn Lister, she's a pharmacist who lives and works in La Salle, Peru. She is a member of the Association of Natural Medicine Pharmacists. She teaches herbal medicine at Illinois Valley Community College and has a service that she calls Sage Advice. And if you're interested in sending her an email, you can write to sageadvice@juno.com. And I'm sure that she will try to help you out.